In the meantime, though, at 9:35, let's check in with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern University's Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Dean. How about yourself?
Doing very well on this gorgeous, gorgeous morning. I can't tell you the number of people that I know who are taking their kids to school this weekend, or, you know, have already done it, and it's, you know, the big separation weekend for colleges. Kids that are, in some cases, physically going back to school, and most cases are still doing virtual learning. But the, you know, the number one question is it safe for kids to be going back to school? Let's start off, you know, like for college kids, these are the ones that seem to be the ones that are running around without masks most often. Are we setting ourselves up for an upswing in COVID-19 positive cases?
Absolutely. You know, when you look at what's going on just this week and just watching the news on the colleges, you know, I kind of look at, and please don't take this the wrong way, I look at college kids kind of like I look at, you know, 7 and 8 year olds sometimes. You know, you can tell a 7 and 8 year old to wear a mask and he doesn't want to do it and he's not going to do it. Same with the college kids. I think it's been proven. You know, right now the little microcosm we see is just in the sports, you know, sporting events and the teams. But I'm afraid you're going to see that on steroids as the kids start to get back in session and there's more social congregating that's going to spread the illnesses.
So what's your suggestion then for, you know, someone setting their kids back up in school? I wonder if dorm situations are going to be different now. You know, normally you would settle in with at least one roommate when you'd go to school. I wonder if, like a lot of hospitals and nursing homes and other places where there are masses of people in one building, if they're not doing that this year, if they're keeping things to single residents.
Yeah, from what I've heard is that the dorms, you know, right now are really going down, like you said, that kind of that 50% where it's one, you know, instead of four kids in a room, it's two kids in a room. So, you know, they're looking at what they can do as far as in the setting in the dorm as much as they can. I'm more concerned about what happens outside the dorms than I am in the dorm rooms. So, you know, we can keep it as safe as we can to have them in their dorms, but if they go out and they congregate in large groups, you know, whether it's at parties or bars, we've just defeated the entire reasoning to put them in smaller groups in the dorms.
Yeah, where alcohol may be involved and inhibitions may be a little less, a little more carelessness, you know, going on. You know, I guess you can tell your college student to be safe as much as you want. They're going to do what they want to do. And because there's that sense of invincibility, that you know, they you know, may not pay attention. I don't know if you saw actor Ryan Reynolds made a plea to younger people, teenagers and college students. He put out a PSA saying, please don't kill my grandparents by not wearing a mask. That's pretty powerful.
It is. It's very powerful, and it's the right message. So we really need to have the individuals, whether they're athletes or actors or any personalities that these kids equate themselves with, that they look up to send that message now. So kudos to him. Thank you for him. If he can make, you know, a group of kids wear a mask that normally wouldn't, I think that's great. And it's something that we need to do. They may look at Dr. Fauci and say, you know, oh, who's that guy? But it's unfortunate. But if we have the right celebrities making the right messages that someone is going to hear, that's all we're in this for, is for extending the safety to others.
Did you hear what happened at Sturgis, the great motorcycle thing? I mean, apparently they all convened and acted as if there was no such thing as COVID.
Have we heard anything? If there's been an upswing of people?
Well, that's just happening right now. It's just happening right now.
I thought that was last weekend.
Well, it's a week long.
It's a week long.
Oh, it's a week long.
Oh, yeah.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better. I thought it was just last weekend.
So in a couple of weeks, I'm sure we'll be starting to hear something.
Yeah. So
and you look at Sturgis, you know, the city holds about 7,000 people normally. You had 250,000 people coming from all across the country. So, you know, all we really needed was a couple of good super spreaders, and we're just going to take it back to numerous states. So very unfortunate and disappointing that it occurred that way.
I've had some emails of, you know, people saying, why don't I back off on, you know, nagging all the time about wearing a mask. I'm really not going to back off on it. That's how important I think it is, and how, you know, that we need to be, we need to be conscious of being careful for one another and being courteous to one another and considerate for one another. You know, until this is over, I think this is just the way it's got to be. It's not that big of a deal to wear a mask.
Dean, it's interesting. You know, the people that are saying, would you stop nagging and telling us to wear a mask? As soon as something happens in their family to a loved one or a vulnerable person, they're going to say, Dean, why didn't you step up and take responsibility to share the need to wear a mask? So we have to balance that. And I think that you guys have done a great job in highlighting it. And hopefully people are listening. So, I don't think it's nagging. It's science. It's the data behind it shows that it works. And when you look at our numbers and you look what's going on, and the more we're finding out about this, and I think, you know, the young kids were saying, hey, you know, I'm invincible. All right. Anybody go on now and Google myocarditis and look at what the impact this is having on some children with COVID and young athletes with COVID. So maybe we need a couple bad outcomes to get somebody's attention as well.
Now, you know, I think that I've heard for most school age, younger kids, elementary aged kids, high school kids, that most things are going to be virtual for a little while at home learning, and then they're going to reassess at some point. But some kids are going back into classrooms, reduced size classrooms, socially distanced size classrooms. Should parents feel safe with that?
Yeah, you know, this is a tough one, and this is one that I try to balance the value of in-home school with the safety and what we need. You know, if you look across the country, not every home has a computer. Not every home has high-speed internet. Not every home has a parent who can actually spend the time to make sure that their child is actually online and doing the teaching. 22 million kids rely on the meals, breakfast and lunch, as their main meals in the school programs. And now we're going to put more financial stress on those homes as well. So we're in a world of hurt, but let's make sure that we are doing the right things. And, you know, should we have lunch programs where they can pick up lunch? Well, often it's a distribution issue. You know, they take public transportation to the school. So there's a lot of moving parts. And I just look back now over the last 6 months and say, gosh, I wish the school districts would have dove into this a lot sooner.
You know, I thought I heard on the news someplace that they're expecting the influenza season to be less severe than usual because people are taking all the precautions now for COVID-19, which, you know, also would lessen the chance of somebody spreading the flu. Did I hear correctly with that, Kevin? Do you know?
Yep, you heard it spot on. You know, we it's something that we found very fascinating when COVID hit here in the you know, January, February, March. It's often a busy time for influenza for us. We kind of shut everything down and isolated everybody, and all of a sudden our influenza numbers went down. So we expect that some of the safeguards that we put in place to stop the spread of COVID will also stop the spread of influenza. Also, we think that there's going to be quite a big interest in flu shots this year.
Well, I was just going to ask you that. Since we're expecting influenza to be down this year, do we even still need to get a flu shot?
Well, I would say yes, get a flu shot, because influenza is still going to be around. And once you get those symptoms, you're like, oh, wait, do I have COVID or do I have influenza? Any of those cases that we can eliminate the possibility of it being influenza is going to allow us to use our testing more appropriately and our assets more appropriately. So I'm encouraging everyone to get a flu shot this year. Help us decrease that, because hospitals are going to be stressed enough with the confusion of trying to sort out COVID patients from influenza patients. So everything we can do to minimize the spread of influenza would be very helpful to the health system.
Do you foresee COVID vaccines, when one is developed and comes to the public, will they be free like many flu shots are, or will people have to pay for them?
No, you know, I would hope that they're going to be free. If we're going to get our arms around this, we really need to make sure that they're free and available. I think the big thing is going to be the distribution. You know, if you look at what's going on right now with Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, all having phase three studies in place, we have a couple of those companies that are already, I don't say betting the farm, but, you know, they are producing that vaccine right now. In the hopes that the phase three trial shows that it is very helpful. And then they'd be ready to go probably January with up to 100 million doses. So if it works, it works. And it should be a free vaccine. We should just take the lump on this one and let's make sure we get as many people vaccinated as possible. Look at our influenza vaccine numbers. 45%, even though it's almost free for a lot of people, or very low cost, and protects you from an illness that is not comfortable at all.
Can you imagine when somebody, you know, next gets a cold, just a regular cold, or, you know, anything, you feel a little scratch in the back of your throat that, you know, just like you would get at certain times of year. Everyone's going to think they have COVID-19. I mean, that's going to put a strain on doctors.
I take my temperature five times, once a day now. I never even had a thermometer. I take my temperature five times a week, at least.
Really?
Yeah. If there's a moment where I, you know, especially when it was hot a couple of weeks ago and you're just physically warm, well, then my head's feeling hot and I go, wait a minute. I just went out to the store a day and a half ago.
You thought you had the COVID.
I thought I had the COVID. Yeah. And then I'm, and surprisingly, my temperature is 96.2.
Yeah. Do you have one of those infrared guns?
No, I just have a digital one. I don't have the mercury anymore.
Digital, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think about, you know, the school-age kids, too. I don't know about you, but I think I remember a couple of sore throats or stomach aches before a third-grade spelling test.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And now we're going to have to sort those out as well.
Yeah. Yesterday, the latest numbers out from the Illinois Department of Public Health, 1,828 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, 5 additional confirmed deaths. This week as well. So the numbers continue to go up. Dr. Kevin Most, always nice enough to spend some time with us on Sunday morning to answer your questions, 312-981-7200. And hi, Mary, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if we should be planning on getting our flu shots a little earlier. Usually they say, you know, October, November, maybe even December. I was wondering if maybe it would be better if we're talking about end of August, September.
I'm seeing signs up in the stores already.
Well, they've been up forever. Never took them down.
That's true. That's true.
Mary, you are spot on this one. You know, influenza doesn't go away. We have influenza all through the entire year. We just see the peaks, you know, at specific times. So anything we can do this year to minimize any of those peaks or exposures, for most people, that protection from that vaccine will cover them, you know, well into the spring. So if you get in August or September, we would be all very supportive of that, especially knowing that our concern is going to be in the fall for COVID. So we appreciate you getting that and spreading the word to get it. And just make sure if you are a senior that you're going to make sure that the pharmacy that you get it or your doctor's office has the high dose, which is the one that you want for the best protection for influenza this year.
Is that to say that you should get your shot through a doctor's office instead of a retail outlet?
No. You know, Walgreens, CVS, they will have it, but just check and make sure that you're getting the high dose one. We know that seniors do not have a great immune response, and that's why we give them essentially a much stronger vaccination to make sure that they have a good response. Sometimes they'll get to a place and they'll say, oh, we ran out of those, but we have the regular, and you just kind of say, okay, I'll take it. You're diluting your chance of it working well. So hold out, make a call to another pharmacy if they don't have the high dose, but make sure you get the appropriate dose.
What, okay. You don't think 7-Eleven has the right dose?
Get a...
I'll have a bag of Doritos, a flu shot, and a Slim Jim.
Thank you, doctor.
You're welcome, Mary. Thank you for the call, Mary. So getting your flu shot early doesn't weaken the effectiveness of it later on in the year, like maybe during winter or in early spring.
Yeah, it certainly would cover you all the way through the winter. The only thing I think we would get concerned is if we start to see late flu, like March, April, May. And if that were the case, then we might see a recommendation for a booster, because we know that the vaccine companies know this has been going on and know what has been going on. So they did two things. One, they're ramping up their influenza stockpile, so we're going to make sure we have that, knowing that they may be asked to switch on a dime to start making a COVID vaccine. So they really have been prepped and they're ready, and the distribution of it should be not an issue of running out anywhere. We should all have access supply to this.
Steve, you're on with Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital. Hi, you're on WGN.
Hi, thank you all for being there. My question is, I know there's no inhalation involved, but is there any intrusion of the virus through the secretion of the eyes? Thank you.
Steve, you're spot on. There is. So that the places that we get concerned about are the nose, the throat, and the eyes. And if you notice, healthcare workers are all wearing goggles right now. So we do know that it can be transmitted to the eye. That being said, you know, you'd have to be in very close proximity and catch a cough or a sneeze, something from COVID right into the face. As far as walking around and being, you know, socially distanced from somebody and catching it through the eye, very, very low probability of that, much higher that you're going to have it on your hand and touch your face than it is that it's going to be transmitted through the eye. But you probably have seen all the pictures of the doctors now wearing face masks and wearing goggles, and it is because we know it can be transmitted through the eye.
Yeah, or those face shields that we've been seeing doctors wearing. Leanne, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a respiratory therapist, so I've been kind of in the heart of COVID since day one. And my kids go to a Lutheran school, and they were getting ready to go back to school, and life was good. I was super excited. I think they need to get back, and they'll do it safely. I made sure that they were going to initiate the masks on the proper way all the time, unless they're, you know, outside and spaced. We went to meet the teacher the other day, and the desks, we have four new kids, so now we have 18. The desks are about 2.5 feet apart. And the principal is talking about possibly bringing more in and not capping.
Oh boy.
And that concerns me. And I said, well, when are you going to cap, you know, the enrollment? And, well, we don't have a plan for that yet. And, you know, parents are talking, well, they might split the classrooms and stuff. But what do you guys think about, like, what kind of a number do you think is a good idea to put a cap at for max enrollment in the classroom?
Well, Leanne, a couple things. One, first, thank you very much for your service. If everyone listened at the beginning with Leanne being a respiratory therapist, respiratory therapists are right in the middle of this. They are the ones that take care of vent management. They're the ones that give breathing treatments. They're the ones that take care of secretions when someone has a cough. They are exposed to this probably more than nurses and doctors for sure. So we really appreciate everything you do. And you obviously understand the importance of PPE and distancing. So as far as your answer to your question about the school, I look at it, and this could be a very cynical way to look at it, is you might start with 18 or 20, but within a few days, you are going to be down because you're going to have so much spread. We look at masks and we say, okay, you can be 3.5 feet away with a mask. We're talking about kids. We're not talking about adults. We're talking about much longer periods of time than just a casual conversation in front of somebody. We're talking about hours in these classrooms and with the teachers. I'm not a big fan of it unless you have dividers put up. But classrooms were not built for the spaces that we need, but they should be physically distanced, in my opinion, and masked the whole time. So however big the building is or the classroom is, you should be able to do a square footage and find out how many kids you can fit in there and still have them 6 feet apart.
Leanne, thank you for your question. Thank you for all your great work. Dr. Kevin Most, thank you as always for taking some time out of your Sunday to answer some questions. Always good to hear your voice.
You got it, Dean. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern Central DuPage Hospital.